If I say the name Adonijah, how many of you know who Adonijah was or is and could tell me something about him? Let me see your hands. I saw one hand. Today I want to tell you a story about two boys. One of them is named Solomon. The second one is named Adonijah. And I want to describe, we don't have a great deal of information, but what we have from the Word of God gives us some real insights into the character of these two lads and what developed in their lives. And when we're finished this morning, you will understand why you remembered Solomon and why you could never remember Adonijah. We begin this morning in 1 Chronicles. Our scriptures today are taken from the Old Testament exclusively. At least the ones I've planned are exclusively from the Old Testament. The Lord may have some others in mind as we go along. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 3. Now you'll find the Chronicles after the Samuels and the Kings and before Ezra and Nehemiah in that segment. When I was a child, I got all messed up. I couldn't figure out whether Chronicles or Corinthians were in which book. I always get confused about that. The Chronicles is a history of a portion of the history of Israel. And in these few verses, beginning at verse 1, we see the generations of David, the king. Now these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron, the firstborn Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, the second Daniel or Chileab, is what his name is called in another place, of Abigail the Carmelitess, the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith, the fifth Shephatiah of Abital, the sixth Ithream by Eglah, his wife. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years, and these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, four, of Bathshua, or Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Ibhar also, and Elishama, and Eliphelet, and Nogah, and Napheg, and Japhiah, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet, nine. These were all the sons of David, beside the sons of the concubines, and Tamar their sister. Now the listing here contains the names of 19 sons which David had to his several wives. Apparently he had some others which were not listed generally as sons because they were to his concubines. Two I want to draw your attention to from the list. Solomon, the one that we know, is the son of David and his wife Bathsheba. And the second one, Adonijah, which was David's fourth son, which was an older boy and was born when he was king in Hebron. Now, David had lots of problems with his sons. 19 sons and lots of problems. We do not know very much about most of his sons, but we do know a good deal about Amnon and about Absalom, about Adonijah, and about Solomon. The others we know very little about. Most of David's children brought him during his lifetime nothing but grief. You remember the story of Amnon and his incestual rape of his half-sister Tamar. And Absalom, who was Tamar's full brother, lured Amnon and snared him and killed him. Subsequently, Absalom was killed by David's commander, commander general. Many problems with his children. Today I want us to look at the lives of two of them, Solomon and Adonijah, and I want to draw you a comparison between what we know about how David raised these two boys. We don't know about any of the others. I could not find anything, but I could find on these two. And I want you to see the contrast. And moms and dads and prospective moms and dads, I want you to listen to this carefully, and I want you to see the importance of what you're doing in the lives of your children. Now, we begin by looking at Solomon, and we'll go to the Proverbs, the fourth chapter. This is what triggered my thinking along these lines a number of weeks ago when I was preparing for the Sunday school lesson as we've been studying through the book of Proverbs, and I was struck with one of these early verses in the fourth chapter, and I thought it sounded out of character for David. And I began to do some research on it, and I found it was out of character for him. I'm going to read four verses from the fourth chapter. Remember now, to get the context here, Solomon is writing to his children, which would be David's grandchildren. And he's instructing them concerning their life and what's wisdom and what is not wisdom. Solomon speaking here. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. In other words, listen to me. I'm going to instruct you. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now Solomon is instructing his children and saying, if you will listen to me what I'm telling you, I will give you good advice and good counsel and good instruction. I am the product of good instruction. I'm the product of good counsel. I'm the product of the teaching of my father. I was struck by the first three words in verse 4. He taught me. Solomon said, my father took time with me and he instructed me. He said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep the commandments that I'm giving to you, because I'm teaching you the straight stuff and it will produce for you life. And Solomon is saying to his children, I have followed that advice and it was good. Unfortunately, in Solomon's later years, he followed the counsel of his wives and denied the counsel of his father, and he fell away. But in these early years of his adult life and through most of his adult life, we find Solomon to be an extremely successful man. He is successful in his relationship with God. He's successful in his ministry. He's successful in his civic and social responsibility. He's successful as far as his finances are concerned. The Bible says that silver was as plentiful in Jerusalem under Solomon's reign as the pebbles in the street. And remember, in Solomon's day, they did not have asphalt. Their streets were pebbled, gravel streets. And he had so much silver in the treasury of his country that it was as voluminous as the pebbles on a street or on a gravel road. Solomon was an extremely successful man, and his counsel to his children is, my dad taught me and he taught me well. Now I'm teaching you, and if you will follow what I'm telling you and not forsake my doctrine, because I'm giving you good law, good word, and good commandments, then you will also prosper and you will also find good success. Solomon, we find, was given even in, if you'll leave that and go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 2, was given even these final words by his father just prior to his dad's death. David, in the early chapters of Kings, in the first and second chapter, is on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, his thoughts are for his son Solomon, who was now not the eldest, but apparently the best. We'll not have time to read through the first two chapters of Kings, of 1 Kings completely. I wish we did this morning, for you would see that it was David's decision to put Solomon on the throne of Israel. It was inappropriate for him to do so because Solomon had older brothers. But David saw in Solomon a quality that obviously God had seen in him as well, and he was chosen to be the king. Solomon was a young man of great wisdom. He was a young man of great humility. He was a solid young man. He had been properly schooled and instructed by his dad. His mother and father had obviously worked together according to the Proverbs passage that we saw, and they had prepared a young man fit in his youth for tremendous responsibilities. And here on David's deathbed, the first verse of 1 Kings chapter 2, we're told, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children," notice the word children, plural, "take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." David describing that real manhood is knowing and keeping the commandments of God. And here are his final words for his beloved son Solomon. "Solomon, remember what I told you. Remember that I've taught you the word of God. They will keep you and preserve you and hold you in good stead if you will simply be obedient to them." And so we find Solomon becoming the king. And in the third chapter of 1 Kings, we read a number of verses which reveal the character of Solomon after his father's death. "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days." Now, those two verses tell us that Solomon was not perfect, but he was eminently well prepared by his father to fulfill the work that God had him for him to do. Verse 3. "And Solomon," watch this verse carefully, "and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father." Now, why do you suppose Solomon loved the Lord? Because his father had taught him to love the Lord. His father had instructed him to love the word of the Lord. And Solomon responded to that. Only he sacrificed, we're told, and burnt incense in high places. "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." In other words, his worship of God. "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Here's a man with a humble spirit. He's not proud. He's not lifted up. He said, "I'm not able to do what I must. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this day so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now we could go on and see that God granted him wisdom and an understanding heart, also granted him long life, and also granted him wealth and honor and riches. For David had raised in this young lad Solomon, he had raised a young man who was humble, who was instructed in the word of God and who was obedient to it, and who was a godly young man, and a man who through his life lived a long life. The Bible tells us that he reigned for 40 years. died an elderly man. Now let's turn to the other boy, Adonijah. And we find him over in the first chapter of 1 Kings. We have just this one passage that gives us any insight into the character of Adonijah. And there is one verse here which indicates why Adonijah probably turned out to be such a churl. If you'll listen to me as I read the first 10 verses of this passage, see if you can pick out the verse. Actually, the two verses that are very revealing. One reveals his character, and the other reveals the reason behind it. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. In other words, he was cold all the time. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. And so they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoeleth, which is by Enrogel. And called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judea the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Now the story is essentially this. The king is about to die. Apparently it's common knowledge. His comfort is being assured as much as possible to make his final days as comfortable as could possibly be. Adonijah apparently knew that Solomon was going to be the king, for he did not invite Solomon to his party. He knew full well ahead of time that it was not his father's idea to make him the king, even though he was the eldest living son. Amnon had been killed by Absalom. Absalom had been killed by David's general. Chileab is not mentioned anywhere after his birth, and it's apparent to us that he probably was gone as well. And Adonijah is the next logical one in line for the throne. And so when he sees his father on his deathbed, and it's bad enough that they have brought in someone to be with him, to keep him warm, and he realizes that it's probably only a matter of days or at most weeks before David is gone. Verse number 5 says, Adonijah exalted himself. Exalted himself. Now this is the exact opposite of the quality that we saw in Solomon, isn't it? In Solomon, he says to God in the dream, God said, What should I do for you? And Solomon said, Oh God, I'm just a child. I'm so inadequate for this great work that you have given, and this is a great and tremendous people. How shall I ever govern them with justice and with equity? And the exact opposite of that humility, we see this presumptuousness. While his father is lying sick in bed and preparing to die, Adonijah is going around behind his back and talking to his general Joab and to his priest Abiathar and snatching their loyalties and drawing them to himself. And then he calls a big feast and a big party and he invites everyone to come except those that are still loyal to David. And he throws this big shindig and crowns himself the king. As humble as Solomon was, this man is presumptuous, stealing the throne. knowing that this was not his father's will. As godly and as concerned about the people as Solomon was, this man is just as self-concerned and self-willed, and he stole the loyalty of his father's friends. The Bible tells us that he died very early, for it wasn't many months when Adonijah was killed. Chapter 2 of this same book, verse 24 and 25, records his death. He died at the hands of Solomon on instructions. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who shall hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Now, if you want to know more about that, you just read the remainder of the first and second chapter. It's a very interesting story. I think you'll find it interesting, particularly based on our discussion this morning. But I want to draw your attention today to verse number 6 in the first chapter, and see how many of you noticed as we passed by this 6th verse that David did not raise these two boys the same. David raised one godly son, and he raised an ungodly son. Proverbs 4 tells us that he raised a godly son by feeding him the Word of God and by training him and instructing him and correcting him and reproving him when necessary. About Adonijah, it is said, his father David had not displeased him at any time by saying, "Why hast thou done so?" Now, what kind of a young man was Adonijah? He was a lad who had been raised to do anything he wanted to do without any correction, without any instruction, without any restraint, and without any discipline. And it was as a result, he grew up crooked and perverse and corrupt. Solomon, on the other hand, was raised according to the principles of the Word of God. He was instructed on the commandments of God. He was apparently hemmed in and restrained by his father, and he grew up a straight and tall and strong tree. Adonijah died at the hand of a man's sword early in life. In the flower of his manhood, Solomon lived a good, full life under the blessings of God. Now, I believe there's a connection. I believe there's a very clear connection. I believe it should not surprise us that David only raised one son who ever became a credit to him, because it's apparent he only raised one on the Word of God. The rest of them he raised to do their own thing. David is said about this lad that David never displeased his son by saying to him, "Why did you do that, Adonijah? You shouldn't have done it that way. You should not do this. Don't you realize that that's wrong?" But David let this boy grow up, left to his own devices. Now, beloved, that same thing is occurring today. Parents are raising children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are giving them the Word of God and the commandments of God, restraining them and correcting them and reproving them where necessary. And they're raising good, strong, straight trees that in their mature adulthood will be credits to their fathers, blessings to their mother, and that they will be citizens that will be a blessing to the society in which they live. Other parents are raising children today left to their own devices. The parent is afraid to say to the child, "No." The parent's afraid to say to the child, "No, I don't want you to do this," because the parent does not want to make the child angry. And it's a lot easier just to keep them off my case and keep them off my back if I let him do whatever he wants. And more and more and more and more these days, children are being raised in that kind of an environment. And I'm telling you, moms and dads, if you're raising your kids that way, you're going to raise Adonijahs when God wants you to raise Solomons. Now, Adonijah, you didn't remember him when I asked you about him, did you? You didn't even know his name. He didn't count for anything. God birthed him by the seed of a man after God's own heart. There wasn't anything wrong with his dad. Talk about having a good start. His dad was the king over God's people. He had a father that as a lad, or younger than Adonijah was, who had gone out in the power and the glory of God, had slain a 9-foot giant warrior. No, it wasn't in the genes.
No, it wasn't in the chromosomes. No, it wasn't the circumstances of his birth or his ancestry or his environment. All those things were excellent. It was one thing and one thing only, and that was he had a father who was either too busy running the country or didn't understand the importance of instructing the children when the older ones were born, or didn't care enough about the boy, I don't know what. But I do know that he raised a child who, when he was at the flower of his manhood and should have been making a contribution to his society and to the kingdom of God, and could have found himself a place of honor in the eternal word of God, he died an ignominious and notorious death. And today, the Church of Jesus Christ, those people who belong to the God of his Father, don't even know his name. He died and he lived and died, and his life didn't count for anything. Nothing. I don't want you to raise those kind of kids. I don't want these little ones to grow up like that where nobody ever knows they lived. I want them to grow up and make a difference. I want them to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I want them to make a difference in the kingdom of men. I want them to have favor with God and favor with men. And the only way that's going to occur is Proverbs 4:4. You must teach them the commandments and the word of God and make sure that all of the influences in their life are in harmony with what you're teaching them. I'm not talking about sending them to Sunday school once a week. That's only part of it. And moms and dads, we are making the decisions as to whether we're going to have Solomons or whether we're going to have Adonijahs in our family. Now, you can either go to a funeral or you can go to a crowning. You can either bury them before their life gets started good, or you can go and watch them be exalted by the Lord God and in the sight of all men. I prefer to watch my kids get crowned rather than buried. That's a good place for you to say amen.
Amen.
Pretty dramatic comparison, isn't it? Pretty heavy responsibility. I want you to know that I can tell you from experience, it's a lot easier to have them than it is to raise them. You can make them a lot easier than you can raise them. You don't raise them in a day. It takes 20 years and then you're not done. You just move on to another phase. I'm not sure you're ever done, as long as you're living. You'll always have something of value to give to your children, no matter how old they are. Always something of benefit and value. I want you to take those two scriptures. I want you to take Proverbs 4:4, and I want you to take 1 Kings 1:6, and I want you to write them on the tables of your mind and on the tables of your heart. And if you've got a piece of paper somewhere in your Bible, a blank page that says notes, I want you to write those down and say, my kids. And write those two scriptures down. I don't want you to ever forget what God is showing us today. That's precisely why the Lord has given parents the responsibility in the raising of their children. God holds us accountable for the raising of our children. Now, I want you to take a hymnal, if you will, please, and I want you to stand to your feet and then turn to page number 5. Now, you may observe that you have already made decisions with regard to your children, and it is your intention to raise Solomons in your household. Praise God for that, and I commend you for that. I bring you this word today for two reasons. First of all, I want you to be encouraged in a good work. I want you to be exhorted to keep on keeping on, that you would never come to the conclusion that it might not really be worth it. And after all, I've got a life to live too. And why should I lay it down just for my kids? They're going to be gone in 15 years. It's worth it. It's worth it to you, and it's worth it to God, and it's worth it to the rest of us who live in this society, all right? The second thing I want you to know tonight or today, and the second thing I want you to see is, I want you to have the Word of God as a working tool. For a lot of the people that you have fellowship with and talk to don't understand the things that we're learning and don't realize how essential it is to restrain their children and to correct them and to keep them under control and to instruct them. For as a twig is bent, the sage says, so grows the tree. And we need to know how to handle the Word of God so that we may sit down with a parent who is perhaps in a situation, you'll hear a parent, I just don't know what I'm going to do with her. I'm at my wit's end. I just can't control him. You ever hear anybody say that? Sometimes you'll run into them in the supermarket. Sometimes it's your own brother or sister or someone in your family or a neighbor or someone that you're close to. Perhaps it's a friend's parents. The parents of a friend of one of your children. I want you to have access to the Word of God so that you can quickly turn to a couple of scriptures and say, look here what I saw. Don't tell them the pastor preached it. How many of you saw this today? You just say, look what I saw. Look what I found. And share that scripture with them. The Word of God is with power. Amen. And it will not return void. And did you know that even unbelievers can profit from the Word of God? Did you know the Word of God will work in the lives of families where Christ is not honored? Amen. God's Word always works. And so I want you to be prepared to be able to share those things. This is one of the ways that we are salt and light. Jesus said, you're the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. And we must give this out. So I want you to have access to that kind of information. It's nice and direct and clear and sharp. And it makes a powerful statement, I think. And so I want you to hold on to what God has given us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow your heads and we'll have a closing prayer and then we'll be dismissed.